You have a Bible this morning, would you open to Matthew chapter number 5? Matthew chapter number 5 for our morning exhortation. As you know, over the last few months, we have been going through Matthew's gospel at the beginning of our service in a devotional manner, and we find ourselves in the great Sermon on the Mount. And I pray that our passage today will be an encouragement to you. We're looking today in Matthew chapter number 5, verses 7 to 12. In Jesus' sermon, he said to us, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." As we open up this text this morning, I want to follow up the reading with a quotation from the great theologian and pastor Jonathan Edwards in his book, The Religious Affections. Listen to this closely. You've heard me quote this many times. I think it's one of the most profound statements on the nature of true conversion that you can find anywhere outside of the pages of Holy Scripture. Listen carefully this morning. Jonathan Edwards writes, "What we have principally to do with in our inquiries into our own state or the directions we give to others is the nature of the effect that God has brought to pass in the soul. As to the steps which the Spirit of God took to bring that effect to pass, we may leave them to Him. We are often in Scripture expressly directed to try ourselves by the nature of the fruits of the Spirit, but nowhere by the Spirit's method of producing them. Many do greatly err in their notions of a clear work of conversion, calling that a clear work where the successive steps of influence and method of experience are clear, whereas that indeed is the clearest work, not where the order of doing is clearest, but where the spiritual and divine nature of the work done and effect wrought is most clear." In other words, Jonathan Edwards is saying, as it concerns true conversion, it's not about the steps that led a person to the point of where they said, "I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ." But what's the important thing is to look at the person's life from the time they said, "I'm a follower of Christ," to see if there be fruits in their life, the fruits of the Spirit. And this statement from Edwards really brings us to the theme of the text that I've read to you this morning in Matthew's Gospel. In the opening section of the Sermon on the Mount, we have been looking for the last couple of weeks at a description of true Christianity from the Lord Jesus. And so far we've talked about Christianity's initial entrance and Christianity's ongoing experience. And from the passage that I read to you this morning, we come to the theme as pointed out by Edwards as well, and that is Christianity's obvious evidence. Let me say that again. Christianity's obvious evidence. You'll notice again what the Lord said as He begins to talk about the merciful and the pure in heart and the peacemakers and all the rest. This is exactly what the Lord is pointing out. Christianity's obvious evidence. And the truth here is that when it concerns true Christianity, there are going to be evidences in the person's life of transformation. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when encountered savingly, is transformative. There are going to be marks in the person's life that show that things are different now than what they were before they were a Christian. The affections of the heart change, the dispositions, the attitudes that then make their way out into the actions of the person. Christianity is transformative. You know, I've given the illustration many times that if we were to meet perhaps for lunch one day and I ended up being 45 minutes late and I ended up showing up and I was dressed sort of like I am this morning, and you said, "Kyle, I've got to go back to work, man. I've got 15 minutes before work." And I responded to you and I said, "Well, you're never going to believe. I mean, this is amazing what happened to me this morning. I was on my way here and I had a wreck and I ran into a log truck. And the wreck caused my car to flip, you know, 6 or 8 times. And I landed in the ditch and the jaws of life were able to come and to pull me out of the car. And I was able to finally make it here." And if I spun that story to you while we're sitting there at Cracker Barrel, you would probably look at me and say, "Kyle, you're a liar. And you would say, you can't have an encounter with a log truck and not have some marks on your body, on your person, to prove that you had such an encounter. And my friend, I want to tell you today that you can't have an encounter with God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ and not have transformative marks and effects in your life that have come from that encounter.
Amen.
And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus is talking about, is that if you have come truly to true Christianity, there's going to be evidence of that entrance. Let's look quickly at what the Lord Jesus tells us. Here in verse number 7, He talks about the merciful. What does He mean here? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You know, when someone's life is transformed by the power of the gospel, it's going to have that transformative effect as it concerns a person's relationships. There's going to be compassion. There's going to be kindness that's extended to other people. There's going to be this effort in the life of the believer to make the suffering of other people less. There's going to be a spirit of mercy in relationships as it concerns extending forgiveness and extending basic kindness to people. The work in the heart of the Holy Spirit of God produces a merciful disposition in the life of the one who has received mercy. Furthermore, Jesus talks about blessed are the pure in heart. What does He mean by this? A person who has truly been converted, truly been saved, their religion isn't merely going to be an external religion. Jesus is speaking about a purity of heart, meaning true heart religion, meaning that the affections of the heart are changed and they're genuine and they're godly and they desire the things of God and the truth of God. And there's going to be not just an external conformity so-called to forms of holiness, but there's going to be true holiness that issues forth out of the heart that then makes its way on the outside. That positional righteousness that we have been declared through justification is going to work itself out practically in our sanctification. And so Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Furthermore, blessed are the peacemakers. This is another evidence of someone who's truly encountered saving faith. That we go to work in this world, the Lord has left us behind. He didn't just take you on to heaven the moment that He saved you. He's left you in this world to be a worker for Him. He wants you to mirror the activity and the actions of the Lord Jesus Christ. The peacemaker is the one who then uses their influence and their standing in the Lord Jesus Christ to promote peace and to promote charity in their private life and also in the public spheres of their influence. They're working for peace at home and abroad. Isn't it amazing how the gospel can come along to a family and begin to change the lives of those people? And you think about in the past how they were always fighting and fussing and how there was disharmony in the home, and then the gospel comes and begins to settle the lives of the people who have been affected by it, so that they desire to have peace. They desire to be peacemakers and do the work of a peacemaker. And then lastly, the Lord Jesus Christ says someone who has come to true Christianity is going to be a person who endures persecution. If you've been a Christian for very long, I know that here in America, we don't suffer persecution to the degree that our other brothers and sisters suffer in other parts of the world that don't have the same kind of protections that we have. But the genuine believer is going to be laughed at. The genuine believer is going to be mocked. The genuine believer is going to be despised by the world and ill-used by the world because they endeavor to live as Christians in an ungodly world. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the power of God to salvation. So many times in our life, though, when we seek to share the gospel or talk about the things of Christ in the midst of conversations, haven't you felt that tension begin to build in the conversation? When you know that the person on the other end of the table is at enmity with God, they're a God hater, and you're there to bring peace, and you're there to share the truth, and you feel that hostility, you feel that tension, and without protections or without a stop to that, many times it can go to the full degree, as we've seen in other parts of the world where there have been those who have died as martyrs for the faith. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you have had this encounter with God through the gospel, the evidences are that you're going to be merciful and pure in heart and a peacemaker, and you're going to be persecuted. You know, we need to listen carefully to the Lord today as we think about this passage of Scripture. And we need to ask ourselves pressing and hard questions. And the first question this morning to ask is, does my life bear the marks of transformation? Is there proof in my life that points to the fact that I have had a true entrance? Am I a merciful person because I'm motivated to be merciful because I have experienced mercy? Am I the kind of person who is pure in heart? Is my religion, does it flow from the heart and not just because of the external things that I see in the household of faith? Why do I give? Why do I come to church? Why do I read my Bible? Why do I pray? Am I merely doing the things that I was taught as I grew up as a churchgoer and maybe in a Christian family? Or do I do those things because my heart truly has been changed? Do I love God's Word? Do I desire the Holy Scriptures? Do I give out of my heart because I want to see the furtherance of the work of the Gospel go into the world? Is my religion true in heart? Do I practice the activity of a peacemaker? Am I looking at all of the situations that are around me that are in chaos because of sin? And am I seeking to use my influence and my knowledge of the Holy Scriptures to bring peace to all of those different situations? Do I ever find those times in my life when I'm speaking unashamedly of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ where I feel the tension, where there's the hostility, where there is the persecution? These are things that need to be pondered well this morning. Am I bearing these marks? Has my life been transformed? Have I been changed? We need to think about these things and so be sure of our faith. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you today for the sermon of the Lord. Lord, this is deep, impactful truth, Lord. And I pray that we would think about it carefully. Lord, that we would weigh the words of the Lord Jesus. That we wouldn't just read over these things, Lord, and be nonchalant about it, Lord, but that we would think deeply and seriously about it. And that we would peer into the pages of Scripture and ask those hard questions. Has my life been transformed to the point that these things come out of my life now as the natural outflow and overflow of a heart that has been transformed by the gospel? The Lord Jesus points and probes and shows us what Christianity truly is all about. Lord, if we've encountered Jesus, things are going to be different. Our lives are going to change. Father, I pray today if there be one person among us who's never really thought of the gospel in these terms. Maybe they've only thought of the gospel from the standpoint of giving some kind of mental assent to the truths of Scripture. Oh, Father, I pray that today, like an arrow struck deep in the heart, that they would be awakened to understand that true conversion and true salvation is far more than just mentally agreeing to the facts of the gospel. But true salvation, true conversion, goes to the depths of the heart and it transforms our life. And Lord, we thank you for that transformation because at one time we were lost in our sins in the kingdom, in the domain of darkness. And we thank you that we've been translated into the kingdom of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus. And this is a realm that's so much sweeter and so much more precious than what we experienced before. Father, if there are those among us today who've never had that experience, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation, that this is the time in the history of the world where the mystery of the gospel has been unfolded and has been revealed. And it's a day of peace, Lord, peace where men can be reconciled to you and the war that has raged on in their life, in that relationship to you, Lord, that would be over and would be done, and that they would bow the knee and submit to the gospel of the Lord Jesus and so be reconciled in a true relationship, in a favorable relationship with you. Lord, we thank you that this is a day of gospel advance, and that in the gospel, Lord, we see your goodness and your kindness and your love for men because you compel men to come. And you say the banquet is ready, the dinner is prepared, the supper is ready. Come to the table of the King. Come and eat and be forgiven and feast at the table continually. Lord, what loving cords you have thrown out, Lord, to draw us to yourself. And we thank you. And Lord, we want to preach that message and we want people to see the glory of your Son. Father, may this be the day, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.